assisted. Hallelujah, Lord. We'll join our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Yes, Lord Jesus. Oh, this is just what heaven needs to be. Oh, let's give my hand clap and praise. Give him praise for what he's done. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise his name, praise his name.
Thank you.
I tell you what, if all he ever promised us was heaven, it'd all be worth it anyhow. But then he comes around and blesses us every day anyways. He's just such a loving God. He's so wonderful. Open your Bibles with me this morning. Before I forget, this Wednesday, remember Brother Alexander McGulis will be preaching. I won't be here. We'll be down in Indiana visiting Ellie's family then. And then next Sunday, we'll be down at Brother Simmons. He'll probably... making me speak that Sunday, but going to visit some brothers next weekend in Illinois. Brother Trevor Emond will be here, preach next Sunday. So keep them in prayer. Come expecting great things. I expect you to represent us well while I'm gone. Won't be here to put along with you, but I guess we'll just, the Lord have his way. Amen. Let's bow, let's open our Bibles again. Revelation chapter 4. Everybody feeling good this morning?
Yes, Lord.
Amen. I tell you what, that communion service really helped me get all the channels cleared out. Feeling good again in the Lord. Happy for what he's done for me. Revelation chapter 4, verse 6. We'll read this down to 8. Revelation 4, 6. Everybody there say amen?
Amen.
And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. In the midst of the throne, around about the throne, were four beasts, full of eyes, before and behind. So there are these four beasts that are right there with the throne. They're all around it. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man, as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is, and it's to come. Don't you wish you could just praise without rest day or night? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Amen. I want to make mention of those four beasts. Let's go over there to Revelation chapter 6. As we read last week, Revelation 6, 1. And when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, as I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. So one of these beasts that were before the throne that we just read about a second ago, one of these beasts are opening the seals. And I'll just spill the beans now. It's the lion. The lion is the one that spoke out this. He says, and I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. What I'd like to preach this morning, we're going to continue on the series, The Seals Revealed. But I like to preach the spiritual warfare of the first seal. The spiritual warfare of the first seal. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. Even if that's all we did today, it was worth it, for this word is anointed. It has your power behind it, Lord. And all we have to do is believe it, Lord, and we can be benefactors of it. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak through my lips, Lord, that it wouldn't be my thoughts, my voice, but because that'll do nothing, Lord. It won't help anybody, my words of a man. But Lord, if you can come and you can speak freely, Lord, I believe we'll walk out of here better Christians than we were before we came. Lord. I pray, Father, that you open our ears to hear what you have to say. May we receive it full faith right into our hearts, Lord, and may it change us from where we are now to where we ought to be. Grant it this morning, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we went through the first seal quite a bit and went through about that white horse rider and who he was. I like to recap that a little bit. We know that white horse rider was the Antichrist. It's not Christ, because Christ, we went through the parallels. Christ is not crowned until over there in Revelation 19. And here this man is given a crown, this rider back here. So that can't be the right one yet. This rider has got a bow with no arrows. Christ had a two-edged sword that he wasn't afraid to use. Amen. This man didn't have nothing. He was toothless. He was a coward. But he was white. He was on a white horse, which means he was trying to impersonate someone else, which was none other than Christ, Revelation 19. Now, when this seal was opened, it said that there was a beast that came and proclaimed it, which means that God was always one step ahead of the devil. as Satan was going to ride on this white horse, before he ever stood one foot, one thought about being on that white horse, God sent forth an anointing of a lion that says, come and see what's coming ahead. That's what I love about Christianity. It's the one religion that can tell you tomorrow's news, and it ain't never wrong. How can you lose if you know what your enemy's going to do? You know what it was actually Confucius said, I think. He said, if you know your enemy and you don't know yourself, you might win one battle, or how's that go? I can't remember exactly. Win one battle, lose one battle, something like that. And he says, if you know yourself but you don't know your enemy, you're probably going to win any battles. But he said, if you know your enemy and you know yourself, you'll win 100 battles.
Right.
And I wish the Church of God would recognize that. Now, if we can identify what's the devil, we can identify what's God by the word that's been given to us, we would win every battle.
Amen.
Because it's not even you that's winning. It's the one that's already won. And he's living in us.
Amen.
So before this white horse could even start riding, God sent an anointing saying, this will come. And I will prove that to you in a minute. The spiritual warfare in the first seal is the lion versus the white horse. The lion anointing versus the white horse. Let me read what Brother Branham says. This is exactly what happens. When a seal is opened, it starts a war.
Yes.
The first seal, 63. The first things happen, there's an announcement in the heavens first. What happens? A seal is opened. What is that? A mystery is unfolded. Because we know that the seven seals were the mystery of who Christ was. And in order to identify who Christ was, it automatically will identify who the Antichrist was, because it's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It declares a war. I got ahead of myself there. What is it? A mystery is unfolded. And when a mystery unfolds, then a trumpet sounds. It declares a war. Or a plague falls and a church age opens. See, what is the war part? The angel of the church catches the mystery of God, not fully yet revealed. But when he does, he catches this mystery of God, and he goes forth to the people after the mystery has been given to him. Goes forth to the people. What does he do out there? What happens when the angel of God gets the mystery and he goes to take it to the people? What does he do? He begins to proclaim that message, and what does it start? A war, a spiritual war. If you join Christianity, sit back on your lazy boy and watch life just go great for you all the time, you are in the wrong religion. When the seals were open, the reason it was open, it was declaring a war. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to set peace. I came to bring a sword. A sword that'll set a man against his own father, a son or a daughter against his own mother, a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. Because it's only the word versus anything that's not the word.
Amen.
And if something comes that ain't the word, I don't care. Don't respect persons. You can call it black. What's black? And the second you become partial about that, and we can talk about brother so-and-so around these people, but the second somebody else shows up, I'm not going to do that. You're a hypocrite.
That's right.
Be honest, truthful all the time.
Amen.
And it's so easy if you just stick with the word. If you don't put your own interpretation, you don't put your own personal feelings into it, you just accept what the word says, you can call black, black, white, white, and it will run right the way it's supposed to every time.
Amen.
So what is this white horse rider again? Let's go through what the white horse rider, what is his warfare? What is his tactics? We know that this was opened up, as Brother Bram said, it opened up church age. This battle started in the first church age. Before that, they had the word, church. The bride, the alpha bride, had the word that we have now. It was there. They had it. And after this white horse got in there, he took it away. Because they let him come in. So what was happening? What caused this? What was the white horse doing? Turn back to Revelation chapter 2. Let's go to those first few ages. And we'll see what this white horse came to do. What was his battle front? What was his war tactics? Revelation 2, 5. This is the Ephesian age, which we know is the first church age. Revelation 2, 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. What was the first thing God said? He said, stay with the original word. Don't come to some new thought, this is right. It's the original. It's eternal. God never had to write down the word. It always was. He wrote it down so we could read it and understand it, but it always was him.
Amen.
Never started, never ends, always present tense. He is the I am. Now look what it says in verse 6. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This white horse rider came in with deeds of Nicolaitanism, which deeds are works, which means little thoughts, little things that they did to show that this was what they were trying to do. Nicolaitanism is where the ministry that's coming is separating the people from God and becoming intercessors. Between the people and God. That's what the Catholic Church does. And you want to know where they got that from? It was from the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you had to come to the priest. He would give your offering. He would mediate between you and God. When you wanted to hear from God, you had to come to the prophet. The prophet would go talk to God. He'd come back and give you the message. The devil didn't go find some crazy out there thing. He took something out of the context it was meant to be used. Because the second the blood was made, the real atonement, that priesthood was done away.
Amen.
Christ was called after the order of Melchizedek, which means that never started. Melchizedek has no father, no mother, no beginning of days. And that's the priesthood we are in.
Amen.
And it never was to go back. Even the fivefold ministry itself are not intercessors between the people and God.
That's right.
They are people that have gifts that are supposed to bring you into better fellowship with God.
Amen.
Not staying in the way, not telling you have to come to them all the time. That's Nicolaitanism, and God hates it.
Amen.
He didn't make us to need a middleman with him. He wanted personal fellowship. And that's what this white horse did. It came in so innocent, saying, "Oh, you don't need to pray. I'll pray for you. You don't need to, you know, do this or that. We'll sing for you. Just show up. Just sit there like a bum on a log and just pay your tithes." Isn't that what the Catholic Church, that's all they want. That's all they want from you. After church, hey, they got the beer right out there. If you want to go drink, that's fine. We don't care. Just come to church and pay your tithe. Who would have thought that that little thought way back in the first age that started adding these little things, these little deeds, would have ended up in a filth like that?
Sure.
But that's why God said, "I hate this," because God is the one that knows from the beginning to the end. And when he sees a little seed of darkness coming in, he knows what it's going to become, so he has to hate it. Not because God bullies us around because we make mistakes. It's because he knows that sin will destroy us. That's why he hates it. He hates it for your favor. He doesn't just bully around saying, "Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that." He's saying, "Don't do that. I know what will happen." Did they say? I wish I had the quote. I don't have it. But Brother Branham says that these writers write all the way through. All the way to the end. Which means Satan can use whatever tactic he has.
Right.
And we'll get to those other riders here. He might not necessarily come by you until you give your life or renounce Christ. That might not happen. But he'll come on the white horse and say, "Oh, can't you just trim your hair just a little bit, you know?" You ever watch the woman do that? Use that reasoning? Oh, it comes off a little bit. What happens 2 weeks from then?
Yeah.
There's a big chunk come off. Before you know it, they're out in the world. Because when you do that, sister, this is so important. When you do that, you dishonor your head.
That's right.
And that's not just your husband. That's Christ himself.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says you can't even hear your prayers when you do that.
Right.
Now I believe it's when you do it willingly, when you know better. That's when God, that's what really makes a person upset, ain't it? When somebody's ignorant, I believe God can have mercy on them. He will still bring them the truth. They're still accountable. But there's more mercy for a person like that than somebody looks at it and says, "Yes, I see it, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to." You wait, that's the white horse's doctrine too. He gives people what they want. And that's the thing I realize is the things that I want, I'm talking the flesh, are the things I hate.
Right.
I don't want that. I don't want my flesh satisfied. Right. That just shows me I'm backslidden.
Right.
I want the inner man, the man that loves God, the one that wants to do the things of God. I want him satisfied, which means my flesh is dead.
Right.
That means all the desires of the flesh, I'm not getting any of them.
Right.
And I go, "Praise God, I'm feeling good anyhow." Said, "Aren't you tired, Brother Andrew?" "Nope, I stayed up praying for a few hours and I feel good. I was in the presence of the Lord. I don't care what my flesh says. I don't care what it wants. I want God."
Amen.
Now look, this Nicolaitanism wasn't just in the leadership either. The people asked for it too. If you go back in the book of Moses, back in Exodus when Moses, let me just read this real quick here. Exodus chapter 20 verse 19 says, "And they said unto Moses," the people of Israel, they said unto Moses, it was after God came down on the mountain and spoke and they all heard it. He said, "Speak thou with us," speaking to Moses, "and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die."
That's what they said.
So the people can want Nicolaitanism too at times, because some people, they just want to feel good. They want you to tell them they're going to heaven. They don't want to sing. They don't want to worship God. They don't want to talk up to the Word. They just want you to stand up here and say, well, I'll tell God about it, and I believe, you know, he'll take care of it. You don't need no personal relationship with Him. I'll take care of what you need. I'll sing for you. I'll praise Him for you. I'll even do this, that, or whatever for you. Sometimes the people want Nick Twain's. But whether it comes from the leadership or for the people, it's a system that God hates. In the Old Testament, as I said, you can type those things out that happened in the Old Testament. That's fine. But to go back and try to live in a glare of another age, you're missing Christ. You've forsaken Him. He doesn't want us to have intercessors between us and God. He wants to have a personal fellowship with every single one of us. How did this white horse start? Where did he come in? He come in with these deeds of Nicolaitanism. And if you go down, let's go to the next church age real quick. Or it's the third church age, I think. Down to Revelation 2:15. In the third church age, look what happens to this little, these couple deeds that were going on in the first age. Look what happens by the time you get to the third age. Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So what started this little innocent movement with just a few little deeds now became an established doctrine. Amen. And if your doctrine is not Christ, you have left Him. Because He and the Word are the same. For you to come against the Word and establish your own doctrine saying, oh, we're not saved by grace, we're saved by works. And they're coming back to that. Did you read what the Catholic Church has put out? Doesn't even matter if you confess Christ. It's whether you do good works or not. Right. Might as well just eat, drink, and marry, because I can think of things that I think are good, and by my own standard, I'll be just fine. God don't care about our standard. Right. He's already set His standard. It's the only thing that's true. It's the only thing that never started. It's the only thing that never ends. It's the only thing we have to tote up to.
Amen.
And look, God didn't. He knew we couldn't do it. He knew that. The second a man sinned, He knew that He could never make His way back. So God became man Himself and took our place so He could bring us back into fellowship. And what was this white horse doing? Separating the fellowship that God worked so hard to reestablish. He came down to die for men so that you could have a personal relationship with Him. And here are these people coming in and saying, we're not going to have that. We're going to be intercessors. We're going to dominate the people. Why do you think God hated it so much? All the hard work that He put into coming down and sacrifice that He made, and here's men that's taken away saying it ain't good enough.
Right.
Let me show you how simple this is now. I'm going to read out the first seal. And what was the first thing happened? An organization from it. Now, is that right? Tell me where the first organized church come from. Roman Catholic Church. Tell me if Revelations don't say in the book of Revelation 17 that she was a whore and her daughters were harlots. That's the same thing that organized with her. Harlots, taking the abomination, filthiness of their fornications for doctrine. That's what God thinks of Nicolaitanism. Filthy of her fornications. That's the kind of doctrine she had. Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Skipping down a few paragraphs here, he says, what is fornication? It's unrighteous living. That's her doctrine she was giving out. Taking the Word of God and making it of none effect by some Hail Marys and all this other kind of stuff and giving it out. And the kings of the earth committed fornications with her. That's spiritual fornication. When you say, I'm not going to take the Word. I'm going to take up this other process that some man came up with that God never did vindicate. And the second you accept that that's truth and the Word's wrong, you are committing fornication against God.
Amen.
Remember when we preached, there's only one husband. You only can be married to Christ, or you're a fornicator. You're an adulterer, no matter what else you do. You're only allowed one husband. It must be Him. Now look, a lot of people say, okay, it's the Catholic Church. I believe that. But look what Brother Bram says. He says, well, you say that's the Catholic Church, but she was a mother of harlots, which means she had offspring. She was the first one. She was the first organized religion, was the Catholic Church, but it did not stop. She was a mother of harlots. Same thing that she was. There you are. What happened? When a reformer died and his message died out, you organized it and put a bunch of Rickies in there and started the thing right back to live the way you wanted to. That was what the people wanted. I want to live any way I want to. I want to wear what I want to wear. I want to do what I want to do. I want to smoke. I want to drink. I want to tell dirty jokes. I don't want you in my life, but I'm still a Christian.
Sure.
That's what they wanted. And once you have Nicolaitanism and you got a man who ain't got a backbone to save his life, standing up here just wishy-washy, doesn't care. As long as you give him a paycheck, he'll say whatever you want to say. Yeah, the people want that. Because then he doesn't get in their lives. He doesn't tell them to straighten up with the Word. He tells them, go ahead the way you are. It's just fine. And you know what those people are going to do when they realize that they listen to that man's lie? I bet if they could in hell, they'd go find him and beat him up.
Uh-huh.
Remember that one woman was dying? I believe it was Brother Bram talked about it. Oh, I can't. Maybe not. Maybe it's just a story I heard. Just I don't want you to think I said that and it wasn't. But this woman was dying. I think the priest was there trying to you know, do some Hail Marys or whatever. And she was starting to pass, and she started seeing demons coming. Yeah. And she said, "You liar! Yeah. You lied to me! Amen. They're taking me to hell!"
Yeah.
You think that would have been enough witness for people to realize this ain't going to work.
Right.
You can't get there on your own idea.
Right.
This message was not Brother Branham's idea. This was the truth. This is what they had. The same thing that Paul preached is what Brother Branham stood up for.
Yeah.
They had lost in the dark age, but God promised Malachi 4, "I will restore the faith."
Yeah.
That they had. And the only way to have the right faith is to have the right word.
Oh,
how can you put in faith into something you don't understand? It doesn't make sense. It's not lining up. You can't put faith in it. But God was gracious to us. And he came and he knew we'd be in this condition. He knew the mess it would be. So he sent some little Kentuckian boy from a little shed somewhere. That the dominations couldn't get a hold of him because he didn't want nothing to do with it anyhow.
Right.
And God sent that man to send an anointing against what the devil had brought.
Amen.
And in this first stage, I don't want to get too far ahead. I want to focus on what comes through this first stage. Let's turn over here real quick. I'll come back to that in a minute. Let's go to 2 Timothy. No, we're talking warfare now. I'm trying to give you the battle plans, how to fight the enemy, how he's going to come after you. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all love, long suffering, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers. See, the people making their own Nicolaitanism. Their own people to be intercessors. They want to heap themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. And we know what fables are. They're make-believe stories. And it said, after their own lust will they do that. They want to have what they want to have because they only can be the nature they are.
Amen.
And if you're a serpent seed, you're going to want to live for yourself because God is the most selfless person in the world. So Satan has to be the most selfish person in the world. And you've watched somebody that only wants to feel good for themselves. And that's why I can't stand this religion where it's, well, you know, come and feel the anointing and, oh, it's going to be great and wonderful. And, oh, God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Why don't you bless God? Why don't you help someone else? Why don't you call Brother So-and-so, tell him you appreciate him? No. I want everybody, me. You're already on the wrong track.
Sure.
Eternal life is living for others.
Amen.
And what was the white horse doing? To the point where you don't even need to witness no more. We'll take care of it. You just sit there. We'll go find the souls. And if we got to kill them to get them in, we'll do that. That's where it winded up as
sure
now,
did.
Church. They heaped themselves teachers. They did what they wanted to. And we go into the Antichrist because that's who this man is. And this is how his ministry started. So if you want to take the Antichrist, you even look at the things that's happened in your life that you know are wrong. If you'll trail it back, it started with this anointing.
Amen.
He always starts with some little thought. With some little deviation from the word. It's always ever so. He never just comes straight out and says, "Hey, I'm the devil. Look, you're going to watch porn. You're going to do this. You're going to smoke." No. It starts with a little thought like, "Ain't I just a little legalistic? You know, maybe I should lighten up a little bit." We are saved by grace, aren't we? Yeah, but don't make grace disgrace. If he saved you, doesn't you should want to live for him. You should appreciate what he did for you. And that would be, the Bible says giving ourselves a living sacrifice is just a reasonable service for what he did for us. Just saying I will live every instant for God is just reasonable. It's not even above and beyond yet. So don't come to God saying, "Well, I did this. No, we're saved by grace. But isn't it just reasonable that we would serve him with all our heart after what he did for us?
Amen.
Well, the Antichrist, he comes, he'll give you just this, whatever thought he can. If it's whatever your flesh wants, whatever your you know, the desire you have that's wrong, he will come in a seed form to satisfy that instead of your desire in God.
Amen.
And you can watch. This is how the Antichrist will take over the world because of this. Let's turn over to the book of Daniel. This is how the Antichrist will take over the world. It's through giving people what they want. Daniel chapter 11. I'll just save time. We'll just read a few verses here. Daniel chapter 11, verse 21. Feel equipped for the age? Oh, I guess not. Daniel 11, 21. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries.
Amen.
He's not going to have to come in and push people around and make them do this, that, or whatever. That's why it shows you it isn't a military force now. It's a religious force. He comes in and says, wouldn't it be just better if we all just got along? We all got the same goal. We all want peace. We all want to, you know, you don't need to tell people that they're lost and need to get saved and to quit doing, oh, don't worry about that. Let's just come together. Let's all be one. Didn't Jesus say we should be one? That's not the one he was talking about. He meant one with himself, which is the word. But he would attain it by flatteries. You turn down, go down a few more verses there, down to 32. It says, such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupted by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. What does that mean? You're going to search the thing out and realize these guys are a bunch of liars. All they want is my money. Isn't that right, Brother Tom? You get anything that's off the word, all they want is your money, your livelihood, your time, whatever they can suck out of you, that's all they want, because they're getting their inspiration from the devil. And the devil's selfish. He's living every moment for himself. Even the devil's himself. He'd kill one of the devils if he'd get a little feel good out of it. He don't care. Verse 33, and they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now when they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Let me read this out of the first seal. That's exactly what it done. What Daniel said this Antichrist would do. He will fit the people's place. Yes, it'll fit their menu for this day for the churches. And what is this day? This is Laodicea. He said, you're naked, you're miserable, you're blind, you don't even know it. This man will fit making them happy. How could you possibly want somebody to come by and you're naked and miserable and blind and you don't even know it and you want them to lie to you? That would be like having a mechanic come up to you and says, well, you know, I heard some noise, but I muffled the inside of the car. You won't hear that no more. You know, your tire might fall off and you die. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. You'll be just fine. You know, you won't have to worry about that noise no more. And you just go on your way. And then the tire falls off and you run off the road and die. That's what's going to happen times about 18 million. Because these people are going to spiritually die. Because they were flattered into something.
Amen.
Away from the truth. For in this church age, they don't want the word Christ, but they want church. The first thing, they don't ask you if you're a Christian, what church do you belong to? What church? They don't want Christ, the word. You go to tell them about the word and how to straighten up. They don't want that. They want something, just live any way they want to and still belong to church and obtain their testimony, see? So he fits the menu just exactly. And you remember, he was finally called she in the Bible. Which means, though this anointing, they called the Antichrist man, and we'll get to that in a second in the book of John, or 1 John. He said, the man, he's coming, but that he became a she because it infiltrated the church until it had its own church. Until the Antichrist has his own church. The Antichrist has his own preachers. He has his own evangelists. He has his own programs. It's off the word in any way, shape, or form. He doesn't care. That's why you can have one church that's so dead and formal, and that's of the devil. And you have a church that's bouncing off the walls, and that's of the devil. Anything that deviates from the word produces the devil. You say, brother, how can we walk straight then? Just follow the word.
Amen.
You read it, you believe it, don't even worry about understanding it necessarily. Say, God, whatever you say, I believe, I will accept it, and I will live it with all my heart.
Amen. I will, Lord.
That's how you know you're going right. Now you remember, he was finally called she in the Bible. And she was a prostitute and had daughters. Just fits the bill of the day, what the people want. There it is. God has promised it. When the word is refused, then they are turned to their desires. And we think we know what we want. And here's the Bible plainly teaching us that what we want is wrong.
Amen.
It's always wrong. It's never what's best for us. When Adam made a mistake, his first thing was to run away and make some fig leaves for himself. It was the worst thing he could have done. He didn't know what he wanted.
Amen.
God's the only one that knows what we really need.
Yes, sir.
We can try to, you know, even when we pray sometimes, we need to be a little bit more moldable in what we're praying about. Because sometimes we ain't got it figured out just yet. You try to tell people, this is out of the first seal again, listen closely. You try to tell people they have to do this, that, or the other, they'll let you know right quick they are Methodist, Presbyterian, or what more. They don't have to pat on your boat. See, certainly they want it. And God said, if they want it, I'll just let them have it. And I'll actually make them believe that that's the truth because I'll give them to a reprobate mind concerning the truth. And we get so surprised we can't convince certain people that the message is right. Look what he said. He said, why do you think they don't care? They have been given over to a different mind than what you have that tells them that what they believe is right.
Right.
And the only way you can know is if you reject the mind of Christ, you will be given another mind wherever it takes. It doesn't matter. The devil doesn't care. It will take you away from the Word every time. You have to have the mind of Christ. And like Brother Stephen preached, it ain't about getting the mind of Christ. It's really realizing you have it. It's that little voice on the inside when you know you're about to do something wrong that says, don't do that.
Amen.
People say, God don't speak to me. God don't speak to me. What's the thing that told you don't lie the first time?
Right.
And you did it anyway. Who was that? That was God speaking to you. There's no man that'll come to judgment and have a case against God. Got to be able to put every little time you put any inkling on you.
That's right.
To serve him.
Amen.
And the evidence will be so stacked up against these people, they will. They'll just... All right, I deserve to be perished. There won't be no court of appeal. They won't have nothing to stand on. Remember what that man said when he went to the white throne judgment? He said, them little sins, them things I didn't think was all that bad, he said they were great big in the presence of that light.
Amen.
Remember the angels? The six-winged angels, they had to cover their face to look at the presence of God. And look at how much the blood has wiped our sins away, where he says, come into my presence. Not just that the door's open, that I want you to come in. What was the white horse saying? God don't necessarily, he don't really want that. He just wants you to kind of, you know, just be a good person. No, he doesn't. He wants a relationship with every single one of us. That's the reason we even exist. It won't be what your flesh wants, but it's what the truth is anyhow.
Amen.
Because we're going to get a flesh, we're going to take off this old fallen flesh, and we'll get a flesh just like his body, and we'll realize, yeah, this was the way we ought to live.
Yeah,
this is way better than what that old thing I had back there. Yeah. Man, I got so tired of being tired. I got so tired of being sick. I got so tired of aching and pain. I don't know what I was thinking trying to live down for that world. That's what will happen on Judgment Day for people that, because you know what, when you go to hell, you stay in this body.
That's right.
You will live in a body that has the pain and limitations and all these things because that's the God will judge you out of the body that you lived in.
Right. Amen.
But if you'll accept his atonement, you're not in the flesh body no more. You're in the body of Christ himself. And that body has already been judged.
Jesus.
God already judged him faithful on the cross. He said, it is finished.
Amen.
Which means if you're a part of that, for as far as your salvation goes, it is finished.
Hallelujah.
And what is this white horse saying is coming in and saying, oh, yeah, that's pretty good, but I think we need to do something to really prove it. No, you don't. Just accept it by faith and watch God bring it to pass. Who is this Antichrist? And if you look up the word Antichrist, it only shows up in one writer. That's just John. So let's go to 1 John here. We're going to get to that line here in a minute. I just like exposing the devil, if that's all right. 1 John chapter 2. If you type in the word Antichrist, this is the only four times it shows up in itself. We know that he's talked about in the book of Daniel, he's talked about in the book of Revelations and other places, but the specific word Antichrist is only in these four passages. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. That's what so baffles me sometimes. People will take what Jesus said when he said Elijah shall come, but he's already come. And John said the same thing about the Antichrist. So was the Antichrist really back there? If Brother Branham is not the Elijah of this day, it couldn't happen because it was already fulfilled in John the Baptist. Then how can the Antichrist come now? Because John said it was already back there. You see the parallel that I'm trying to say? He was there in the spirit form, but there will step a time when a man will have that spirit incarnate within him. It'll be Satan himself, Satan Superman. The Antichrist was already there. And how was the Antichrist there? He was in a seed form. He was in as a white horse rider. And you couldn't tell just by looking casual glance that it was different than Christ. It looked just like him. But the spiritual mind, the mind of Christ, the only thing that could say, nope, that's wrong. And that's what John had. He had the Holy Ghost. And he could say, the Antichrist is already here, guys. You've heard it's come, which means I believe that they had churches prophesy. There's going to come an Antichrist. He's going to stand for everything against Christ, things of that sort. And John said, you've heard that he's coming? Yes, he is, but he's already here now.
Amen.
1 John 2:22. Skip down there a few verses. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son, because you can't deny one without denying the other. So the first thing he says to identify the Antichrist is he says that Jesus is not the Christ. Most people believe that, right? They'll say, yes, yeah. You know, if we deny Jesus is the Christ, yeah, we're a liar. We've denied God. We've denied the Father. We've denied the Son. We've denied everything we believe in if he's not the Christ. But that's not all he says either. We'll skip down. Chapter 4, verse 3. Actually, verse 2. Hereby know we ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist where you have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Does that make sense? What he makes it very plain. He says, every spirit, we know the Spirit of God. Any spirit that will confess that Jesus Christ is come. Not that he did come. He already covered that in the last chapter. Now he's saying that he is come. Which means he's alive in the people. The same God that was in Christ is in his people now. We are of the same makeup. And if you have a spirit that comes by and says, that's not true, we're a little different. The word that lives in me is different than what lived. No, that's wrong.
That's right.
That's the devil.
Yes, it is.
Because he says right here, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. So we don't even, people are looking for, oh, how do I know this is right? How do I, look, what is the Spirit saying? Is he putting Jesus Christ in a day gone by, not in us? Is he putting him ahead in the millennium and not right now? If he's saying that God can't heal today because the prophet's gone? Every spirit that'll confess that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh is not of God. And this is how John told you to identify the Antichrist. He puts God in a different age besides the present.
Amen.
And that makes God furious. To where he could say, I hate these deeds. I hate this doctrine. Because it ruins everything. That'll take out the foundation of your whole experience if you put God as a future God or a past tense God, or put that some man has to stand between you and God. You've ruined your entire foundation of your experience.
Amen.
It's gone. You have to recognize that you are to have fellowship with him. And not out here. It's not him out here and me here. It's him in me.
Amen.
Perfect fellowship. One more scripture that he talks about Antichrist. Let's turn there to 2 John 7. There's only one chapter, so it's just 2 John 7. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. So it makes it very plain now why we can identify the Antichrist. He will not tell you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will tell you that things have changed from God's word, that it was good, it was right for maybe a season, but it's not the same now as it was back then. That's what his doctrine is. That is what it's based off, and that's how you can identify him every time.
Amen.
That happened right now, too. If you don't think God is willing to speak to you right now, this minute, you are listening to an Antichrist spirit. If you think that it's Brother Andrew up here just blabbing and sweating, and it's just, I'm just trying to be an intercessor, and you know, you have to come to me to find God. That's Antichrist. It wasn't established that I could tell you my doctrine, and so that he could come down and show yourself him.
Amen.
That he is alive, that he is the same. Remember the Lord's doctrine that they were so astonished by? It was when a man cast out a devil, and they said, "We like this is the Lord's doctrine."
Amen.
Yes, the Lord's doctrine has power.
Amen.
It's not a book, it's not a textbook, it's a person that cares about us.
Amen.
That when your bills can't be paid, he knows about it. And he's already working it all out. If you'll just wait on him, he'll be there.
Amen.
You go, I got this sickness and I'm tired of dealing with it. Look, the white horse will say, oh, you know, God just let you suffer just because, you know, he's just bullying you around. That's when it's time to find the lying anointing that'll stand up and say, devil, shut up!
Amen.
Yeah! In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, he said, by his stripes, I am
Amen.
Healed. Now I will be. I am healed right now. He'll come around and say, but you still got symptoms. You go, that doesn't matter. I am healed. And if you can envision yourself a perfect person, you will walk right into it. All these things are based on faith. You must believe it. You must know he's the same.
Amen.
This is the warfare that this seal exposed. And we could go through there in the book of Ezekiel. It talks about the same things John said and how it has the four faces. A couple things I just want to mention out of there. I'll just paraphrase it for time's sake. these beasts, these, and they all had four, they all had the four heads on them. And when they moved, they only went straight. It was never like this. That's not how God does things. He doesn't kind of twist. And that's why I said, don't go to the left or to the right. Just go straight. Amen. And when it was the lion anointing, they went this way. And when it became the man, they went this way. Because they had the lion, or the man faced that way. Came the eagle, they went this way. When it was, they always moved straight, which is a symbol of God always moving forward. Amen. Not deviating His plan. It's always the same plan. This whole book is a revelation of Christ. And the only way to reveal Christ is to reveal the bride.
Amen.
Because that's a part of Him. Just the only way to reveal who Adam really was for God to come, take His rib out, and make a feminine part of Him so He could fellowship with Himself. It was the only way to reveal it. And that's why God in His mercy has come down in the last day and showed us. No, it wasn't about these forms of fashion. It wasn't just about God feeling bad about you and He just wanted to come justify you. It wasn't God just trying to bully you around and say, oh, you got to live holy, you got to do this. That's not what it was about. It wasn't God about just wanting us to have parties and just to feel the presence of God and just feel good. No, it was about God expressing who He was. So we could fellowship with Him. So He could show who God is. How do we know who God is outside of the Holy Ghost? How are you going to do it? You can't. That's why when people want to get religion, I go, God have mercy, don't go that route. He said, well, don't we got to do this and not do this? No, no, it has nothing to do with that. Fall in love with Him. Amen. He'll tell you what not to do, what to do. Because there's things in the Bible I consider point blank, like we talked about hair earlier. Woman ain't supposed to cut their hair. A man is. We can do that. We can look through those things. A woman's not supposed to wear the garment pertains to a man. A man's not supposed to wear that pertains to a woman. But there's things that Paul said. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. And we quit building doctrines on that and quit forming religions. Amen. Instead of a life.
Amen.
We get a lot farther. Because Jesus didn't have to leave us a whole lot of commandments when He said, if you love me, obey my commandments. Because if you fall in love, you really fall in love with Him, it doesn't matter what He asks of you. You are so willing to do it.
Amen.
That you feel good about doing it. Oh, when I realized that it made God happy for me to tell people that He loves them. You know, I realized I'll do that. God, I'm going to all the world. I'll preach the gospel. When I realized that God likes to heal people. He likes for you to go put your hands on the sick and let them get well. He enjoys doing that. If He did it, man, He wasted a lot of His ministry. Well, 85% of it, he was just, people kept twisting His arm, making Him heal everybody. I remember sometimes the Bible said He had compassion on them and He went and healed them.
Yes.
Just because He liked doing it. God wants us well. He wants us physically well. He wants us spiritually well. He wants us in perfect communion like they had back in the Garden of Eden. Yeah. And that is why the message came. Can you believe that today?
Amen.
So when this, and I love how it's perfectly illustrated in the Word. When this little white horse comes up, what's the anointing that went against it? A lion. It wasn't the man yet. It wasn't the ox yet. It wasn't the eagle. The first thing that went against it was a lion that stood up and said, sit down, devil. Amen. That's how you need to deal with it the first instance he shows up. And if you'll take a bold stand against the devil, he will flee. He's a coward.
Amen.
Remember, he's got a bow, no arrows, can't do anything. And if you just take a lion, just imagine a man riding a horse with a bow and no arrows, and here's coming a lion with real teeth. Not the devil with his knocked out teeth. I'm talking a lion that has teeth. And he's coming after him. What do you think that guy's going to do? Giddy up the other way. Now, if you can apply that to yourself, that is nothing but the truth. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Amen.
You can even look in the early ages. It says that. They prayed for boldness. Let me just read these real quick to you. Acts 4:29. It says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness that they may speak thy word. It's one of the first signs you can find a woman. Let me just say it like this. A woman that you know has got the Holy Ghost, you can tell by her conversation, her behavior, her appearance, things of that sort. You can tell right away. A man, though, he can kind of hide. Any man can wear a tie and a suit. Right here is where you find out a man that ain't afraid to stand for the word.
Amen.
That's when I can find a man that's got the Holy Ghost. He ain't afraid to get up and say, no, bro, that was fine, I guess, for you all, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's the devil.
Amen.
You can bring in your little contemporary whatever and wishy-washy and all that stuff. Nope, not in my house. That's the devil. We're not going that route. Oh, my goodness, I'll tell you what, I don't know if I can ever hardly listen to anybody mainstream anymore. Second, I go and look at anything about these people, it goes, God have mercy. How? How can they be anointed to sing like that and live in such filth? It shows you what Satan takes people to. Satan will worship God if it benefits him. He won't do it willingly now. But if he's got some kind of motive in doing it, yeah, he'll do it. If he can make some money doing it, he'll do it. If he can get 50 million people to follow him and head to hell, he'll do it. Whatever it takes. He hasn't got a pride bone to him, really. He's just the lowest of the low. You think of somebody that'll run the worst schemes in the world, realize that they got that from the devil, and he's way worse than that. Which means he's got to be a complete chump. Stand as boldness, church. Stand as a lion against those little thoughts when they come. Don't let the devil push you around.
No way.
This was after the first persecution there. Let me finish that. He says, that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth hands to heal. How are we going to preach the word with boldness? Go ahead and heal people. Yeah. Let them know that they can be healed, that Christ paid for it, and go do it.
Amen.
Don't just sit around and just... No, go, go. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus.
Amen.
God wants to show himself mighty.
Yes, he does. Amen.
Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always. Oh, can you wish you just could say that? With boldness as always. And Paul's a man that could say that. They stoned him. They put him in shipwreck. They sent him here to prison and beat him and did all these things. He said, I just got used to it after a while. Just with boldness. That's just the way I do things. Because he knew what the anointing was of the day, which was resist that devil.
Amen.
Don't put up no time with him. Kick him out. Yeah, it's not popular. Yeah, people probably want to kill you. But stand for it anyhow. It got to the point where Paul was so caught away, he said, death, where's your sting? What do you got anyways, devil? You're a chump. Go ahead, kill me. All you're going to do is put a crown on my testimony.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
That with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. He was preaching what the Spirit of God preaches, that God is in his people. And whether it be by life or by death. So whether we live or whether we die, it's to God be the glory.
Amen.
So let me finish this out real quick about the lion anointing, and we'll wrap it up here soon. You enjoying the word this morning.
Amen.
Questions and answers on the book of Hebrews 3, 57. Now those four beasts, we read the four beasts. It's the lion, the ox, the man, and then the eagle. Now let me read what he says about this. Now to get this, because I don't want to stay too long on this, but the beast in the Bible represents power. So we know these four beasts were four powers that God had given to his church. And you notice these beasts were not out yonder in the lake of the sea somewhere coming up, but they were at the throne of God and they were worshiping God, which means that these anointings were right there. They came from God. They didn't get away from the presence of God. They were in the presence of God. So if you have an anointing that's taking you away from the presence of God, it's not one of these four.
Amen.
It's leading you astray. Now, what were these four powers? Where did they come from? Those four beasts means four powers that come up out of the earth. And those four powers was the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Amen.
One don't contradict the other one. And one of them, that's the thing. If the books don't contradict each other, that means the anointings don't contradict each other either.
No,
they're used in different ways. That's fine. But don't tell me that the lion's going to tell you to do one thing and the eagle will tell you to do something else. That's not true. They don't contradict. They complement. What the gospel that Paul stood for, we are standing for the same. Because, yes, we're under the eagle anointing, which means we'll be flying out of here one day.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I can't use what Paul used back there, and it ain't going to still work.
Right.
It ain't going to contradict what he said. Yeah. It'll still defeat the devil every time.
Amen.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John 1 don't contradict the other one. And one of them, as the gospel goes forth as a lion, it's stern, it's bold. The gospel is brave like a lion, and it's a king like a lion. Which means when the king speaks, everything else shuts up.
Amen.
And if you can realize that the king is in you, and when you take the word of God and you speak it against the devil, and if you'll believe it now, that's the problem. If you're just bluffing him, he'll call your bluff.
Amen.
And he'll win. He'll get you to, you know, you demonstrate poker, but he's got a good poker face and he'll beat you.
Amen.
But if you ain't bluffing, you got the stuff that don't bluff, he'll run like a coward.
Amen.
It's bold, it's stern. It's brave like a lion. It's a king like a lion. Didn't the Bible say that we were made kings and priests unto our God? We weren't made to let the devil push us around. We were made to make the devil squirm under our feet.
Amen.
Let me read this one more, a couple more quotes here, and then we'll wrap up. The breach of the seal, 63. And I heard a man, a great minister, said, the book of Acts is just a scaffold work. Which, what does he mean by that? It was just what was building up to what it really was going to be later. Which means that Jesus Christ is not the same yesterday, today, and forever, because what he did back in the book of Acts ain't supposed to happen no more.
Yeah.
You see what they're saying? And that's foolishness. No, it was not scaffold work. Let me just read what he says. The book of Acts is just a scaffold work. It was the first vine that the Holy Church ever put forth. Yes, sir. And she ever puts forth another one, it'll be that kind too. Yes, sir. You got to have some grafted vines in there bearing lemons that ought to be oranges, but it won't be that vine. That vine ever puts forth a branch that'll be exactly like the original.
Yes, sir.
Which means the life of Christ, the what he did when he healed the sick, when he cast out devils, when he had visions, when he had interpretations, when he spoke in tongues, all the signs of the believers. When that passed into the book of Acts, it did the same thing. And when it comes back through us, it better do the same thing or you've left Christ somewhere. If it ever puts another branch, it'll be exactly like the original. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those Gospels are standing there guarding the wisdom of man, the power of a lion, the work of an ox, and the swiftness, he says, the lepers or the eagles, rather. Yes, the Gospels stand there reminding when we had it. Oh, excuse me. Let me just finish there. These four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you go in the denominations, they'll focus on those, and they won't talk about the book of Acts.
Right.
It's just kind of, well, you know, that was nice back there, but it's not. And they had the picture completely backwards.
Amen.
The Gospels led away for the book of Acts. The book of Acts is what God intended for the whole time. God in His people.
Amen.
Yes, God came down in flesh and we needed that atonement. But that atonement had a purpose. It wasn't God just bored and just, oh, I'll just give my son. No, he had an intention in doing it. And his intention was that his spirit could come into us.
Well,
and that he could live his life out of us. That was his whole desire.
Amen.
The four Gospels were guarding that. Why was he a lion? Why was he standing for the word? Why was he an ox that was given his life? Why was he always right on the word when they tried to test his wisdom? How many times did Jesus fool them with their own logic?
Right.
So you say Christ is David's son. How come David said that, you know, the Lord is his Lord?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. He had the wisdom of man. He had all four of them. He had the flying of the eagle too. Remember, he said that the same Jesus that you saw go will come back in life form, which means he already took his rapture.
Amen.
He knows how to go to the skies, church. Oh, he's not asking us to do anything he didn't do.
That's right.
And he took his body up. Now, look. He resurrected. He was in a body of flesh. He was in what we're really going to be, which means I can travel like a thought. Which means I'm not limited to time or space. Aren't those the two things that we hate more than anything?
Amen.
Anybody hate time because you think I'm going a little long and you're trying to stay right there, but you're saying, man, I'm just getting tired, or you're just a little too far away. I know we visited Brother Ray's and Brother Craig's, and I wasn't quite used to that no more. I'm used to right here, you know. You're 2 feet away. And he's like, man, he's way over there. And I know, you know, we got to deal with those things. You got more people, you got to build your building. But time and space, those are the two things that just limit us more than anything else. Can't you? Oh, there's going to be a time when it's gone.
Amen.
There's going to be a time when it's gone. And it'll be like Jesus. I want to go see the disciples. Oh, I'm there. I want to eat with them. Here's some food. Look at that. Remember, he was roasting on the fire. Didn't tell you where the fish came from, did it?
That's right.
He's the creator of the universe. He's living in a body that we will live in.
Yeah.
He made the way that we could have the exact same things that he has. He wanted to give it to us. God is not a brute standing on the throne saying, oh, I have all these wonderful things, and if you can kind of grovel your way back up, I'll give them to you. No, he's trying to give it to people and they don't want it.
That's right.
Everybody gets the picture of God backwards. Why did this lion come? It was not to just scare us. It wasn't to push us away from God. It was to keep the devil out so we could have fellowship with God.
Amen.
And as we read there earlier, let me just read this out of Revelation chapter 4 when Brother Branham talks about these four beasts. He says, now watch this. All right, in the spirit, wherever they went now to go, they went. And they turned not when they went. And they couldn't turn. If it was going this way, it was going like a man. If it was going this way, it was going like an eagle. If it was going this way, it was going like an ox. If it was going this way, it was going like a lion. They couldn't go backwards.
Amen.
Don't tell me you got the anointing of God and you're living in the glare of some other age.
That's right.
And even if you want to take it back to the prophet in his earthly ministry and saying, oh, that was great, that was wonderful, that's all that God has for us. You are living in the glare of another age. Brother Branham came to bring us something that is eternal.
Amen.
This message will live if you apply it and let it live through you. It is the same.
Amen.
They could not go backwards. They had to go forward everywhere they went. Each one of them beasts. Let's stand together.
Amen.
Spiritual warfare out of the first seal. Aren't you glad God revealed this seal to us? That we can know how the devil's going to try to fight us? This is his first attack, church. And I tell you what, if you'll stay on guard, when those little thoughts come by, those little deeds, those little inklings away from the word, if you'll keep on guard, Satan will never get a foot on you to start destroying you. But what happens to us a lot of times, we go with the devil for a while. And we realize why later we got sacrifice to make on the way back. We got to die out again because we let something live. We got to go pull the weeds up and throw them out. Where if you just would have grabbed the seed before it ever got in the ground and chucked it back to the devil's face, we'd have been all right.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of the devil. He's a chump. He's a liar. Don't let him put no sickness on you and just deal with it. Don't play those games with him. Don't let him put no depression on you. Don't let him put no loneliness on you. He did not make us for those feelings. Remember, he looked down on Adam and saw he was lonely and said it was bad. That was the first thing he said that wasn't good. Is that a man would be lonely. But God has come so graciously, as I said, first on the cross to die for us, to pay the atonement that we could come back into fellowship with Him. And then when He knew that mankind would make their own way, but through these anointings, it started with the white horse, but it goes into the red, goes into the black, goes into the pale, and we get in such a condition that they couldn't even see what the atonement was anymore.
Right.
He would still come down and says, I will not let it stay that way. I will not be defeated.
Amen.
Because remember, we're His victory now.
That's right.
If we can't stay saved, Christ lost.
That's true.
Once you're saved, and I mean real saved, I ain't talking about just saying you're saved. I'm talking about you're born again in the Spirit of God. You're always saved.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Let's bow our heads together.
Glory to God. Thank you.
If you have a need or desire, or you just want to praise Him, that's fine. We're going to pray together. I believe that the Lord is trying to equip us to be soldiers against the kingdom of the devil. Just pray your way. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for sending it to us in this last day that we wouldn't have to walk around blind. We wouldn't have to read this book of Revelation and not understand what it was all about. But you in your mercy and grace came down and you sent a man to show us what it was all about. And Lord, and we can prove it's still true today because you still do the same work you always did. Father, I pray if there's one sickness in this building that we would not leave here with it. Father, you paid the price. We believe that, Lord, and I believe I'm in a group of people that believes that, Father. That you paid for our healing. You paid for our joy. You paid that we could walk victorious in this life. Lord, we pray for our loved ones that ain't come in yet. Father, we know that there's time still here for a purpose. Lord, and it means that there's somebody out there that we haven't got to yet. I pray, Lord, that you'd bring them in. Lord, you said that you would save us and our families. And we believe that and we accept it today by the blood. I just pray, Lord, you let us walk in complete Christian victory today. Let us not be afraid to witness this gospel, to see as many mighty signs and wonders done through each believer that's here. May each soul that's here have a better relationship with you than the day before. May our ears be more attentive to hear your voice when you whisper those little things to us of what to do or what not to do, or when you just come by to say that you love us, Father. Help us to hear it and to be able to say back, Lord, we love you with all our heart. We give you praise this morning. We thank you again for the revealing of your word.
Oh,
we thank you for the truth. And we thank you for taking our place on Calvary.
Thank you.
Just be with us today, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen, amen. I want to sing 145, So Glad I'm Yours, E flat. If you got your books there, it's 145. So glad I'm yours, Lord. How many is glad you're the Lord's? Where would we be without Him?
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and you saved me. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
Sing it again now.
So glad.